Might bring that up, might not.
Yeah, I think you should.
Yee-haw! I've just admitted something stupid, something private, something disgusting, which didn't know whether to laugh or go, ugh, at. But I'm going to say it out loud. Okay, I've got two small warts in my hairline, Judith. Two small warts.
Well, that is quite an interesting sentence and selection of words, I have to say.
Two small warts. Has there ever been a song, do you think, with those words in the lyrics? Two small warts, two
in
small warts in the
hairline.
Right at the top of my forehead. Now, I've got a very fucking massive forehead. I am mostly forehead. Most of my face is forehead. So it's right at the top in my hairline.
I haven't noticed that, but right.
And I haven't got much hair, of course. So they're just two small... Yeah.
Well, they can't have just appeared out of nowhere.
No, I think they've been formulating.
They've been brewing.
Yes, they have. You know, they're like little, they're hard little skin tags. And I don't think they're anything to get concerned about. But obviously, I will pay to see a dermatologist at some point just to check it's not, you know,
but you know, I had one.
Off.
I'm sorry. I know this is a bit revolting, but, you know.
Well, if you're eating, put it down. If
when
you're eating, put it to one side.
I had one of those. Well, I haven't seen yours, so I don't know what they're like. And let's face it, warts are, they are kind. They do come with the territory a little bit, don't they?
Yeah, they come with the witch as you grow into a witch.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I had one not so long ago. I can't remember where it was. It was kind of annoying me. And you know, they get a bit loose, don't they, if you twist them.
All right, Judith.
Do you know what I mean?
Mine are not there yet. Yours must have been fucking massive. How disgusting. It made me feel really ill. Was it on your forehead?
Oh, don't pretend. No, was it on my forehead? No,
okay.
It was somewhere on
was
my
it on
face
the end of
or
your
my
nose?
Neck. I think it might have been on my
all
neck,
right,
actually.
Okay,
anyway,
okay.
I did a bit of twirling.
Okay,
and I thought,
right.
This is annoying me. And do you know what I did?
I did
that pincer movement with my nails.
Oh, my God.
Like you do with your, and Sienna does, actually, with her chin hair. Like, I just got it, and I went, yank! Came off.
Oh, mine are big enough to get any leverage. They're only two tiny small bumps. Anyway, everybody, we apologise about that. We're slightly warty. We obviously are carrying the wart virus and we wash our hands a lot. So anyway, Judith, how are you? What are you doing? You're going on your holidays soon.
Tomorrow I'm going on my holidays.
Are the bags out? Are the suitcases on the
Jenny.
Bed?
Oh, Jenny. Well, I don't know whether I mentioned it last week, but Mike and I are sharing a case because, you know, we got to that bit with EasyJet where it tells you how much the cases are each. Oh, I know. So don't be ridiculous. We're definitely sharing a case.
Yeah.
So we have got the same, you know, we've just about done that. Although
Have you measured it exactly and run a tape measure down the middle?
Weighed it.
No. I'm just thinking about whether you've been... Fair, Judith, because I have a horrible feeling that once you've got a couple of swimming costumes in your toiletry bag, there'll be about 2 square inches for his
stuff.
Yeah,
well, you've got it in one. You've absolutely got the measure of it. No, so what happened is that I bagged the right section of the case, because actually it's the kind of case... Where, you know, there's a case in both top and bottom. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, I know. So it's got a natural divide. It's a zippy zip. Has it got a zip in the middle?
It's got a zip. So I've
dividing the two halves.
Yes,
and you've got the bigger half.
Oh, far deeper. But he hasn't really noticed that yet because filled it up, right?
Yeah.
Filled it up and crammed it in. And I've just pulled the zip round. Mind you, I did that. And then I realised yesterday, I haven't put any underwear in. So, because that
Who
was
needs
a close
underwear
shave.
On holiday? Who
well,
needs
I need a bra,
underwear?
I'll tell you. Bloody hell. Anyway, so I've got the larger side, yes, and I did a bit of weeding. I did a bit of bossy weeding with some of the things that he'd got in his case. Because I know what he's like. He puts things in that, you know, that aren't properly washed, not properly ironed. So, and I did a bit of weeding while I was at it. So, yes, I have got the large, but we're in one case, but...
Is it a large case? It's not a flight case, is it? It's not the one that's going in the hold.
It's ridiculous.
So it's going, sorry, it is going in the hold.
It is going in the hold. Oh, yes, it's a big bucker.
So
it's a big bucker.
Okay.
Yes.
Good. Okay.
Of course it is.
Because on tour, I'm two suitcases.
Oh, are you? Two wheelies or two big
two
suitcases?
Wheelies. Two wheelies.
Oh, you're
two wheelies.
How do you manage that then? How do you wheel them together?
Well, one is for daily use. One is for my normal offstage apparel. And the other one is show clothes. So one more or less stays in the car and then comes to the theatre. And the other one is my responsibility.
No, your responsibility,
but we'll talk about my responsibilities on this tour later on. But I want to know about you getting ready for this holiday, because getting ready for a holiday isn't the carefree thing of yesterday, is it?
No, relatively speaking. No, absolutely. Oh, no, it's terrible. No, the run-up has been absolutely terrible. And I was scared to death of the whole COVID test process, as
yeah,
you
this
know.
Is you need a PCR, don't you? Where are you going? You're going to Croatia.
So okay. Amber, we're going to Amber, okay. And people okay. who are going to Spain, who I've met recently, say, "Oh well, we haven't got a PCR, so we don't need to do that." That's because they are green and other countries are amber. I now understand. Anyway,
okay.
I was pretty well organised, as I think I mentioned last week, wasn't I? Because I was in Cornwall, and yeah. I booked my PCR. Test, which is the crucial one that you have
yeah,
to get
to be done in Cornwall.
To be done in Cornwall, you see, because it has
clever.
To be done. Yes, oh yes, because
where
it has
does,
to be done.
Where do these have to be done? Because I haven't had to go anywhere to do one. Oh, I had someone come okay. to my house once to do one.
Because you were on that posh show.
Because I was doing which, a telly show, yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
Oh yes, and which we haven't seen yet, have we?
No, it won't come out for years. I mean, you know, it'll be something to be embarrassed about in
2020. It won't, stop it.
You know, 42, I don't know.
So, no, it has to be done within a 72-hour period of travel. So,
well, that's
you know,
hard work, working,
well,
that
working it out. Well, I'm about to get Mike to work that out. I really seriously couldn't do it. Anyway, so it had to basically be in Plymouth quite late on, 4 o'clock, you know, then I had to drive yeah, back, yeah. was worried about that, stocked up with the chocolate buttons aforementioned, etc. All of that stress going yeah. on. Anyway, however, okay, we get to Friday, right? Picture this. We get to Friday. Boots, because we've booked it at Boots and it's the cheapest one. Send me a text to say, just to confirm your appointment on Monday, blah, blah, blah. Do not forget your passport.
Okay.
Do not forget your passport.
What have you forgotten, passport. Judith? What have you forgotten? Where
passport
is your passport?
Passport was at home. Passport yeah. wasn't yeah. in Cornwall. Passport
no,
was at home.
No. You don't need a passport to go to Cornwall. Not when you're going from Oxfordshire. You don't need it. There's no borders.
So I thought, oh, shit, well, I'm going to have to change it. Aren't I going to have to change it to do it at home to get my passport first? Blah, blah, blah. Now, I know this is, you know, I know we're going into sort of potential snore-law territory here, but just bear with, okay? Bear
okay,
with.
Yeah.
I go on and I try to change the thing and I get myself locked out. And I get myself locked out
oh,
with a
well
awful,
done, Judith. Well
Judith,
done.
All that. So just like, you know, when the stakes are really high, I fuck it up on the passport thing, the password thing so badly.
Yeah.
Not only that, Jenny, it will not send me the email with the resetting password thing, and I try it so many times, it basically says, fuck
what have
off.
You done? What have you done?
Well, I discovered that what I did is I registered my test all those weeks ago as a guest. Not
okay,
as
okay. You
a sign of thing.
Okay, because you couldn't be asked all those weeks ago
no,
just do that extra little bit
exactly.
of form filling.
You got
so
it.
So you just
you
sort of,
it.
Yeah, I do that I just, when I'm buying yeah. stuff all the time. And then I go back to the same to. Place where I bought the stuff from and think, oh God, I'm a guest again, aren't I? Because I haven't been,
yes,
I haven't been
yes.
asked to put my own address in, which actually if yes. I started typing the address, it would automatically fill it in.
It would automatically,
so I don't
yeah,
know,
yes.
I don't know why we're so lazy. It's just like, we don't want to do it.
We don't want the hassle and we're a little bit scared of the hassle.
Yeah, and anyway,
so then,
there might be a portal yeah. involved. So
oh,
you're locked
almost
out.
Certainly, yeah, so I'm locked out of the portal. I'm double doored out. I'm just
okay.
double-doored
are you
phoning
out. People at this point?
Oh, I'm
is
phoning
there...
people now.
Okay.
There are, right. there are okay. desperate, tragic helplines on the Boots thing. And then on the national...
Were they helpful?
You know,
were you actually managing to get
through?
They didn't
answer!
Oh,
Jesus so,
God.
Oh, do you know, oh. I had one call. Okay, picture this. I started it. I drove to where I was having my nails done. All right, one call on speaker. You know, you are still, you know, all the same music, all the way through the drive there, all the way through having my toenails painted, all the way to the co-op. And
having your hooves done. We having your hooves done. It's a big job.
Yes, it's a big job. They just didn't answer. I mean, in the end, I, you know, after about 45 minutes, I just gave up. So I kept doing that. I just basically gave up. I went to Boots in Tor Point. And they said, well, nobody ever answers the thing. We don't know what happens in Plymouth, blah, blah, blah. So, okay, getting really desperate now. Really, really desperate.
You cried by this stage?
Oh,
I'd actually cried.
I'd cried to
oh,
Mike. I don't want to go to Croatia. I'm not going to go.
Was Mike with you in Cornwall?
No, he was at home.
Oh,
he
no, you're doing this all by yourself. No. Was he sympathetic or was he actually a bit pissed off with you?
He's a bit pissed off with me.
But he didn't tell you to take the passport. You
well,
see,
it was probably
fault.
On, the, you know. Well, but everything, as well, we know, should always
he comes
should
have, back. Before you left the house, he should have stopped you. Honestly, what's wrong with these men? He should have stopped you. He should have barred your exit and said, Judith, before you leave this house, have you got your passport? That's what yeah. he should have done. Why didn't he do that?
Exactly.
Honestly, Mike...
Something right, you said okay. last week when you said, that, oh, when you lost your handbag and you couldn't blame Jeff.
Couldn't blame Jeff. He hadn't been with
terrible,
him.
We're terrible, aren't we? Yeah. We're both the same. Always blame Mike. Yeah. And so anyway, somebody said, well, why don't you just order a PCR test? You can get them, you know, you just go into one of the COVID centres where they test me, ask for a, you just get the kit, you know, blah, 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 blah. So I got that. I thought, well, that's good. And then I realised that you couldn't do that because it's not recognised by the travel quite
no,
rightly. Otherwise,
no,
everyone
they can't
would be
make
cheating.
Money out of it, you see.
No,
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, it's got to be, you've got to pay
anyway.
For this one. You've got to, yeah.
Anyway, eventually, Boots sent me another communication saying, you know, just to remind you again about your appointment, a communication from the portal, a little yeah. gap in the double yeah. doors, yeah. you know, a little chink of light. So I opened it, Jenny, calmly and sensibly, right? Not like me. Calmly, I just scrolled slowly
all the way down, yes,
all the way down,
yeah.
And there was a button that said, if you want to cancel this appointment, it didn't say cancel or rebook, so it was a risk.
Okay.
And I thought, am I going to press this fucking button? So I thought, well, I've got to. So I pressed it, okay, cancelled it. And then there was a thing that said, do you want to rebook? Yes, 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 yes.
Unbelievably, if this is my sister, I'm just going to have to...
it's like she sabotages this podcast.
Hello. Sarah! Sarah, what day is it? Yes, what do I do on a Wednesday morning? She said, do you know, this is my sister. I'm on the podcast. I'm doing the podcast. Sarah, oh, I've got all that. I've done all that. We'll discuss this later. Don't you worry. I've got my old age swimming thing done. Oh, okay. Well, enjoy. But I've got Judith waiting on the podcast here. I've got to go. Bye. Okay, so that's my sister. Now, she's having swimming lessons, Judith. I'll talk to you about that after. After, yes, but get to the end of this. Okay, so you dare to press the button and you cancel your book and then you rebook.
And I rebook.
But you're not rebooking in Plymouth.
Well, no.
Oh, that now. Will it let you? Will it let you rebook in another Boots?
Oh, it did. Thank God. I don't know what I'd have done if it didn't let me. But what it meant is I then had to, because they were very short of appointments, it basically meant I had to get, it was like a race. I had to get to Whitney, you know, by 1:30. So that was a bit of a push.
Judith, yeah,
I know.
Back from Cornwall.
Been very, very stressful.
That must have been a 6 a.m. start. I mean, you know, the last time Jeff and I came back from Cornwall, it was 10 and a half hours.
Oh, God, was
10
it really?
And a half hours. Jesus, yes, it was.
Jesus. No, and it involved a ferry and it involved all sorts of things.
Jesus,
and literally,
like,
I didn't
honestly,
have time.
It's like the Bourne Identity, but a bit more risky and exciting and dangerous. They should have filmed you. Will she make it? God, it's a real proper cliffhanger of a thing. Have you had the result yet? God, what if you're positive?
Yes, it's we're all go. We're all set. We are all go. We're in go mode. Thank God
for that.
Oh, I know.
But honestly, it was quite a risky thing to do, I have to say. Anyway, it's done. And I'm glad. All I'm going to say is that a friend of mine, double jabbed, got corona about just under 3 months ago. Did a PCR to go to Portugal. Clear, went to Portugal, came back, did a PCR on return, and has come back positive.
Really?
And he doesn't feel like he's got it. He knew when he had it because he was very ill with it. Yeah. But he thinks that it's just picked up fragments of the virus that are still lingering in his body. When he gets tired, it sort of flares a bit, you know, like an arthritis or whatever.
Yes. Yeah,
So the PCR picks it up because the lateral flows don't. All the lateral flows are
negative. Is that right? Right.
It's just really... Well, that's his theory. I mean, he's not a doctor. I'm not a doctor. Well, I am, actually, officially. I got one from... where did I get one from? I can't even remember, which is terrible, but I have got a doctorate. You know, from Southampton or one
doctorate. Haven't you? It's very careless of you to drop it and forget what it is.
I completely forgot. It's not Southampton. It's nearer than that. But anyway, it was very kind of them. Thank you very much. But you know, this sort of, I don't think that getting back into the swing of things is very easy, Judith. That's what I'm going to say.
It certainly isn't. But I think this is about me becoming sort of kind of an old lady.
No, it isn't. It absolutely isn't. And I refuse to let you do that. You've got another 20 years before you're allowed to get away with that excuse. No, you're not uber efficient. You give a great show of being efficient.
Yes, I do.
The thing is, what you do is I always think, well, Judith's here, she'll sort it out and it'll be fine, because it's like an older sister. Yeah, I do. And then I realise that in actual fact, you're quite shit. I mustn't trust you, and I can't rely on you to do anything.
No, so, I'm afraid not. I'm just bossy. And actually, if you're bossy, you look efficient.
You just give out the vibes. Stomp around and look like you know what you're doing. And in actual fact, you're making a great big pig's ear of everything. So that's fine.
People just think you do. Yeah, absolutely.
But my experience over the last couple of weeks as I got ready for the tour and started the tour is, and I hate the word scatty. I really do. I don't use it. And I've never used it to describe myself, because I don't think of myself as a scatty person.
Yes. Yeah, it's a little bit sexist, actually, isn't it?
It sounds like a daft blonde who sort of drops things and then she bends down to pick them up and her tits fall out. So and I'm just not that kind of woman. And I've never had the kind of tits that would fall out of anywhere. So, but this last couple of weeks, I have despaired of myself. Judith, I have despaired of my stupidity and my just dropping things, losing things, not knowing where stuff is.
Really?
Absolutely.
Like what? Go on, like
well,
what?
Well, so far I've been on tour, I've done 4 gigs, I've left a debit card in Wagamama in Leeds, I've left a Bang Bang chicken salad in a hotel fridge.
Oh, God. Oh, that's serious.
Absolutely.
Fucking hell. How annoying.
I have dropped my favourite scarf in 2 hotel breakfast rooms. The tour manager has picked it up both times. And when he dropped me off very late on Sunday night, I left the scarf in his car, along with a plastic bag on the back seat with some nice M&S bits in that I was looking forward to have lunch on Monday.
Well, you're getting very careless if you're leaving nice food at food I'm leaving places.
I feel this bloke, he doesn't know me very well, and he's sort of been signed up to ferry a 61-year-old adult around the country, and he's ended up with this giant toddler who actually can't do anything and can't remember what colour the car is, so comes out of a motorway service station looking completely lost because, I don't even know what the car is. Oh. Mind you, did that once when we went up on a Grumpy tour, and it was a new tour. It was a big tour car because it was like a people carrier.
Well, there were 3 of you, weren't there?
There were three of us. Yeah. And I remember... Yeah, and we'd all been picked up. And, of course, within 20 minutes, we had to stop for a wee at a motorway service station. So I went into the garage bit to get some Diet Cokes, whatever. And I got 2 for 1. And I thought, oh, this is good value. And I came out with my 2 for 1 Cokes. And I got into what I thought was our people carrier. And I was sitting in the front. So I climbed into this front seat and I turned to this stranger and... I didn't look at them. I just went, oh, it's 2 for 1. As if I was offering him a blowjob or something. And it wasn't even, there was nobody, the girls weren't in the back. It was just a strange bloke that didn't know what this peculiar woman was doing, sitting in his car, offering him 2 for 1. God. Anyway, there we go.
And you say it's not old lady land. So what?
Offering 2 for 1, Judith. No.
So your theory is that this is because we've been little in our little...
Yeah, we've been saving our bubbles. We've not been able to lose anything because we haven't been really out of the house. It's not been, where's my handbag, where's my keys, where's my... You know, everything's been so streamlined and simple in our lives. You've had home deliveries for your food. So I haven't been using I haven't been in restaurants. I haven't been using debit cards. Not out. Do you know? It's all of a sudden.
I know.
I've got to remember all the words to the show, the other stuff. And I'm just not. I'm not coping particularly well.
You say that. We've had lots of lovely emails from people in the gang who've come to see you saying how brilliant.
Oh yeah,
you were.
No. I have to say that the first night. It was in Leicester. It's in this. It's like a little music hall theatre, Leicester Y. It's next to a youth hostelling place. So I've gone into the wrong entrance a couple of times, but it's a it's a fabulous little, it's a tiny little music hall space, and it's really, really lovely. And, you know, it's not the biggest auditorium I'll be doing on the tour. It's one of the smallest, but I couldn't have had a nicer welcome back. I mean, it was one of those things where, you know, I was looking forward to the gig and I was excited, but I walked out and this noise kind of hit me. And I could have cried, Judith. I mean, I was crying a bit. Oh,
because it was them greeting you.
Just, they were just sort of clapping, and it was, I wasn't quite expecting that. And it was, I was really almost overwhelmed, actually. I really was. It was, it was delightful. And so thanks everybody who's coming out. It's
I mean, it must be a fabulous, fabulous feeling when people are laughing at stuff that you've written. You know, I do take my hat off to you, and,
I know what you're like. So do I. I mean, so far I've been quite disciplined, and the thing is, I've just got to have plenty of sleep, and I've got to sort of be nice to myself and not beat myself up if anything goes wrong, and you know, I'm quite good at touring. I mean, you know, I know how to do it. I know the rule of the two suitcases and all that sort of thing, and. You know, the life in hotels. I mean, the thing is, what's the weird thing about hotels though at the moment, and I'm not sure what's going on. They're all saying they're full, and yet there are sort of three cars in the car park, and you don't see anyone at breakfast. Yep. And we're full. Now, I don't know whether they're sort of on half bedroom measures or something because they haven't got the staff. I don't know.
Yeah, perhaps they haven't got the staff.
And then in Leeds on Saturday night, a centre of Leeds hotel, the highest quote we got was £800 per room.
That must be some ridiculous suite. Yeah.
Well, no, it wasn't. It was just a room in a boutique hotel, sort of, you know, like one of the nice ones that you might occasionally. Yeah, so we could not afford anything in central Leeds on Saturday night.
Good grief.
And we had to trek out to Barnsley to a Premier Inn.
Oh, I mean, my goodness. Nothing wrong with a Premier Inn, but, a bit annoying to have to trek out. Gosh, that is weird, isn't it? So what you're saying is that they're either just sort of putting ridiculous prices on it, on the basis that they can, or that they're actually full. No, but they don't sound full. They don't seem full, do they?
Well, so I mean, some of them haven't seemed full at all. I mean, I've had a sort of, I've stayed in a sort of, I've only done three nights away. So, I mean, I'm going to reserve judgment, but something strange is going on in hotel land. And I think if anyone can shed any light on it, I'd be quite interested. Mind you, Judith, the best thing was, first night away in Leicester. And there's a nice Novotel. Now, they're quite nice, the Novotels.
Oh, yes, we like them. Yes,
although I was a bitch when I arrived because I said, have you got a room with a bath? She said, no, we haven't. And I sort of did a bit of huffing and puffing. Honestly, I was embarrassed in the morning. I found the girl and I said, I'm sorry, I was a bitch last night. I went to bed and I closed my curtains and everything. And imagine my joy when I woke up in the morning and I pulled my curtains. And guess what I saw in front of me, Judith? Guess what I saw? Oh, it was so great.
An art gallery?
It wasn't a pony or an art gallery.
No.
It was a Big John Lewis.
Big John Lewis!
Oh, Judith, now we're talking.
Oh, Jenny.
Oh, I haven't been in a Big John Lewis. I haven't been in a big department store for a very long time.
No, I haven't.
I don't know about you.
And I haven't.
Well, I had my breakfast at 9:30 and I checked the opening time, so it was already open. I thought, it won't be busy. I had an absolutely joyful 45 minutes on the ground floor. Well, I had to sort of double up my show shirts because I don't want to give. I mean, there's not a surprise. It's not exactly like you're going to see kind of Shirley Bassey. I'm very sorry. It's quite plain, but I needed an extra white shirt and I needed an extra black top, and I managed to find both those things. It was a successful shop, and I bought another white shirt because I've decided I suit a crisp white shirt.
I think you do. I'm not sure I do. I'm too busty, but you do. Very good.
No, they look good. Anyway, I had a very nice little shop in there.
Did you spray some perfume and have a look at the lipstick? And
no, I didn't have that much time. After that, I just thought, well, I'm a bit tired now, I better go and lie down again. I mean, for the first 2 weeks of touring, I don't stand upright for very long.
Yeah, it must be exhausting.
Mostly looking for somewhere I can lie down.
And do you find them? Where do you snatch bits of lying down?
Well, it depends. I mean, quite a lot of dressing rooms now are just lino floors. And I sort of, the first thing I do when I go in dressing rooms is think, well, this is it's not really conducive to the lying down. And then you have to go on searching for sofas around the theatre. And sometimes you find them. And that's great. It's just you just have to get on with it, actually.
Yes, that is annoying, because in the old days, I remember at LWT, all the dressing rooms had a bed. I mean, you know, it was used for very nefarious purposes, I tell you.
Things have really changed. There's no loviness in Loveyland anymore. No, not really. Everything's really pared back. I mean, I don't want to be an old fart, but I do remember going to theatres in the old days, and the theatre manager would come and meet you, and he'd be wearing a tuxedo.
Wow,
it'd be filthy, some filthy grease-stained old thing. But you know, there was some semblance of showbusiness.
Of showbiz, yes.
Yeah, that's completely gone. Everything, of course, now because of COVID, everything's wiped downable. There's nothing left there. Everything's, you know, so it's absolutely fine. And I mean, once you get on stage, it's you know, show business is back. Yeah. But backstage, yes. Everything is. I'd have to say it's quite like a green room.
Green rooms?
There's still the green rooms, but, you know, those are really for, there's mostly crew rooms, and you don't want to hang out in the crew room, really.
They can be a bit sorted, can't they?
Oh, it's sorted. They are, absolutely. If you want deep filth, look in the microwave of a crew room. And there we go. Anyway, I'm enjoying it, but I'm really glad to have a couple of days at home.
Yeah, I bet you are.
And yeah, it's just like everything's so squished in now. I just don't have much time. I don't have any time, Judith. I have no playtime anymore.
You haven't got the paintbrushes out, have you?
No, I've taken my iPad on tour with the iPad pencil, but I haven't done much yet.
Oh, yeah.
No, I need to get my show legs, and then I'll be, you know,
yeah,
I've
you'll
got
have
my
a bit
tapestry.
More time. Yeah. Oh, you've got your tapestry. You're doing another one of your cushions.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I'm busy. I've tried to keep myself busy. I like to keep myself out of mischief. I'm, you know, I'm being very good about not drinking too much, and you know, but that's, you know, it's my life is sort of exciting but quite small.
Yeah. Well, you say that, but you're also going on stage. But no, but that's right. That's exactly what I would do. I would just be not ambitious about the other things and build in lolling, sort of, you know, in the hotel room. Just that downtime. Now, Jenny, I tell you what I'm going to do today. Something big is going to happen to me today. I have decided.
Okay.
I'm going to go to the hairdressers, and I'm going to ask for quite a radical cut.
Okay. Now, is this the same hairdressers where you had a really kind of bumpy start about a year?
Yes, it is. Six months, a year ago. It is.
You had to confront the hairdresser and you had to kiss and make up. Okay. Yeah, right. He might want to get some revenge at this point, do you think?
Oh, God, Jenny, I hadn't thought of that.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Either that, or he might want to get some legal, some witnesses when I'm saying do something radical.
This podcast is going to sort of count in his favour, actually, because unless this bit gets edited out, this is his kind of alibi, isn't it? So you have said live on this podcast that you want something radical.
This is self-inflicted.
You know, your flight to Croatia crying tomorrow, it's your fault. Okay. How short are you going to go?
Well, because I haven't had a big major hairdo for such a long time. And, you know, I looked at myself the other day and I thought, you just look like a fucking, you know, a large... poodle. Do you know what I mean?
You look like a schoolgirl, Judith. You still look like a schoolgirl. How long is your hair at the moment?
Well, it's kind of, it's way past my shoulders.
And
it's
really?
Yes, it is. It's lank. It's looking lank and lifeless.
Okay.
And I feel like a change. And what happened was that my friend, who I haven't seen for ages, was talking to her about my hair and thinking that I might have a hairdo. She said, you used to have a lovely hairdo. I always liked your hair. When it was kind of round by the bottom of your ears, and it was sort of like it had a sharp edge to it, you know, it was really
but your hair
sharp.
Isn't straight, so how can it be sharp?
Well, no, but it was a sharp line, but then it was kind of curly. So
okay.
I was inspired when I got home to find a photograph which I knew was there somewhere.
Oh, that's the one on the Instagram.
Yes, I'd have put it on the Instagram.
Okay.
Yeah. And so I mean, it is fraught with danger in that I now have the sort of hair, because I'm an older woman, which tends to frizz. Do you know what I mean?
Okay, so it might okay. Just well, frizz. Even when you're using Olaplex.
Yeah, because the weight sometimes, I've always assumed that the weight, hence the poodle lollipy look, you know, pulls out the frizz. And of course, it's why my mother and your mother probably, I don't know about your mother, but it's why that generation of our parents always had shampoo and sets, because it pulls out the frizz. Anyway.
No, you see, my mother's got the straightest hair in the world.
Yes, and
she's gave up on shampoos and sets, oh, so many decades ago, and just had a sort of rather butch, pixie cut very close to her head,
and it looks good.
Yeah, yes, well, it's because it's silver. It's good now. Yeah,
yeah. No, but I think if you've got that sort of hair as you get older, then that's great. But if you've got the kind of frizz problem, which I have, then it is kind of dangerous, because I'm basically cutting it. But listen, I need a change. I just need something different.
Yeah, go for it. And are you thinking of having a streak put in or anything?
Well, no, because I thought, you know, it's all coloured to buggery. I don't think there's any room for any more streaks. No, I'm just going to go for the cop.
Okay, I thought you might go for a purple fringe or something like
that.
Oh,
I see what you mean.
Are you doing fringe?
Not fringe, no. I'm doing a kind of curly, you know, I'm doing the kind of, I think it'll be the sort of hair where I don't use a hairdryer. I do that kind of scrunchy.
I don't use a hairdryer. Okay, so, once this hairdo is done, and I think, here's my opinion right now. I think you're going to wimp out. I think that between you and the hairdresser, you're going to talk each other out of it. And you'll just have a big trim. That's what you'll probably have done. And none of us will be able to tell the difference. So I want you to put, after you've had this haircut, I want you to put yourself up
photograph
on the...
Photograph on the nose. Okay.
Yes, please. Okay. Yes, please. Okay. Thank you very much. Right. Okay. Yes, I love that photograph of you and your mate. And because it was so dated by the poster behind. There was a Desperately Seeking Susan poster.
Oh, yes, I know that. Definitely
behind.
Placed it in time, didn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Did you ever have that kind of curly? Did you ever have a sort of curly look? Did you do
that? Yes, I did. Only when I had a perm, because you know my hair is the straightest hair in the whole wide world.
Yeah.
So when I was about 15, the poodle perm, it was a big look, Judith, the poodle perm, 1975. Had my first perm, and it was awful at first. It went through a cycle, my perm, and for about the first 3 weeks, it was too tight, not very nice.
Ooh,
and then
as it relaxed,
it sort of, the curls got slightly bigger.
Bigger,
and
yes.
It almost looked real. And I had this boyfriend once, and he just said, oh, God, I really love your hair. And he said, is it natural? And I went, yeah. And I had no idea that this boyfriend was going to actually be quite important in my life, and that I would be seeing him for more than, like, 3 weeks.
Oh, no.
And it really preyed on my mind, because I just, every day I'd be thinking, oh, don't grow, don't change. And, of course, it did. Now I'd have to do increasingly sort of bizarre things. And sort of loop it up and with hair grips and sort of half ponytails and things like this to try and sort of pretend that it was still. And then eventually, of course, it all had to be cut out and re-permed. And, oh, God, it was a nightmare. And he obviously knew.
Right for telling a lie. Yes.
But, I've never had good hair at all. But I had a little trim yesterday, and that was nice. And it's not looking bad. And the great thing is, I'm not needing the colour done so much, because I'm going white.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Is your mum got white hair?
Silver white. Yeah, hers is more silver. Mine seems to be going white, which is great. Yeah. Wow. It's like me and Jeff are matching. Right, okay, I think we should get to...
Culture Corner.
I have done no culture whatsoever, and I don't know what's going on, so you'll have to fill in for me.
Well, you haven't had time, have you?
I haven't had time.
What
have I don't turn televisions on in hotel rooms.
Don't you? Why not?
I don't know.
Oh, well,
I
do know why. It's because there's nothing ever on live, is there? It's because you can't do the kind of... The Netflixy thing.
Yeah, that. And also, I'm still thinking. Sort of after the show, I'm still thinking.
Yeah, but
I do a bit of social media, and then I fall asleep. Yeah, I don't really.
Yeah.
And so you know, maybe next week I'll watch some telly. But I
do you not even
anything.
Put the breakfast telly on? That's something that I do in hotels. I never do
no,
at home.
No, don't really
even
do,
put the breakfast
no,
news on.
I don't. I've got an you know an audio book, and that's it. I'm very kind of self-contained.
Insular. Yes. Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah,
so what's good? What are you watching?
Well, I mean, nothing particularly sort of, well, various things. So TV, I don't know why, suddenly started watching Gone Fishing with Paul Whitehouse and Bob Mortimer, which you must have seen. And Ben
I've seen bits, but I haven't watched the entire
series.
Lovely. I mean, I know, they're really, because, you know, Bob Mortimer's biography comes out next week, and I'm going, that is on my list to download for Audible. I think it comes out on the 16th.
He's so likable, isn't he? And sort of... He's, if the, you know the word chump, it was it's kind of made
bit
for
of
him,
a chump,
isn't it?
Yeah,
bit of a
yeah.
chump. He's a kind of chumpness, kind of oozes out of him.
Apparently,
and their friendship
a really
is
sad childhood.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, yeah, right. Absolutely. It sounds and really antisocial. Went to university, didn't speak to anybody. Basically,
Gosh.
Didn't become himself until he was. Quite old, you know, like in his 20s.
Wow.
So I'm
wow.
intrigued by that. That's,
yes, and that'll be interesting. To,
yeah.
So they're lovely. I mean, I wish there was a similar thing with two women. I
oh, can
say.
You imagine? Can you imagine?
Really, I don't know what
it just doesn't happen,
doing.
Does it?
I know.
It just doesn't
and it's so
happen.
Sad. And it bloody
should
I mean,
it's happening.
Do.
It's starting to happen. It genuinely is. There's more travel shows featuring women, and eventually it will get down to,
yes,
you know.
But not
it,
before
but it's taking
time.
A long time, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So I've been watching that. I've been watching a new series, also on BBC with Richard E. Grant, called Right Around the World, right as in, you know, books, writing, writer. And it's a sort of travelogue with him wearing some very jazzy, very nice blue shirts. He seems to have a selection.
He's a beautiful man, but he just lost his wife last week. Did you know?
I noticed. I know.
Really, really sad because they were sort of inseparable. And it's
were
it's,
they?
Oh, God, yeah, absolutely. You know, it was a sort of one of those great love affairs of the world sort of thing. And it's he must be in pieces.
Yeah,
so
sure,
we sent
I'm
him
sure.
and the family all our love. I adore him. I think I've met him a couple of times. And he's absolutely just really, really, really nice.
Yeah.
So,
well,
anyway.
I mean, it's a good series. And when you've got time, have a look, because it's basically, I mean, he's the one I saw, their first one is Andalusia. And he, and so what he
and who's the writer that goes with Andalusia?
Well, lots
look
of things.
Look at us both lisping over the Andalusia.
So he went to Granada, and it's Lorca, you know, the poet Lorca that was
difficult,
yeah,
very difficult.
Dali
I tried watching
and,
a Lorca play once. Yeah, oh yeah, God, it was awful.
Yeah. But and then he sort of popularizes. He goes to meet Chris Stewart, who bought that amazing place that he wrote Driving Over Lemons about. You know, the kind of ex drummer.
Oh yeah,
from
that was
Genesis.
Huge in the sort of 80s or 90s,
yeah,
wasn't it?
Massive,
that
massive.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's kind of, you know, it's quite highbrow, and then not so highbrow. Actually, Chris Stewart says something really interesting. He said that when they bought that place, which was really, really remote, he said what it enabled him to do is to live elementally, you know. And I think as I get older, I enjoy that, you know. I enjoy water and sun and sea and, you know, the kind of being with the elements. Anyway, there you are.
No, that makes sense. That does make sense. I mean, even I want to go for a walk today because it's nice and sunny. I am looking forward. Even I, Judith, who I'm like a hermit crab, let's face it.
You are.
I am looking forward today. To walking out of my house, down to the swimming pool, getting into the water, and then walking back up. I would have liked to even dropped in at my sister's, but apparently she's working, so I can't. But, you know, it's... And then I'm going, oh, get this. Phoebe and Tristram are looking at bigger flats.
Oh, good. Good.
Yes, so great. I'm going to meet Phoebe later on and look at another property.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah, they've had an estate agent round to their place who said, you've basically got to get rid of all this shit. Okay, now books.
Yeah, nothing to report.
Have you not downloaded anything for Croatia?
Yes, I have, and I've been listening to the Everyone Is Still Alive, and I've been listening to
it's comforting,
that.
Isn't it?
Well, not at the moment.
Oh no, not at the moment. But
massive accident.
Yeah. But it's but, don't worry too much kind
good
of thing.
Good.
Okay.
Good.
But the detail is nice in that writing, isn't it? The Catholic
Chronicles. Oh, it is. Yeah. No, and it's nice to read, because I've been so, you know, kind of buried in the Catholic Chronicles. It's quite nice to read something very contemporary. But I'm taking the third instalment of the Catholics with me.
Oh,
and
Judith, you don't need anything else. You don't need anything else. Okay. Art-wise, the best thing in London to see is the Paula Rego. I don't know whether I brought that up. I think we were having a week off when I went.
Yes.
We did. I talked about that. That's still the best thing I've seen this year. And books wise, I have just downloaded the new Elizabeth Day book, which is called Magpie. And I'm looking forward to that. I was a big fan of her first novel, which was called The Party. And I'm still recommending that to anyone who hasn't read it. I'm still reading Ghosted, but it does make me anxious. So that's a bit on one side. I've been really preoccupied with the show, to be honest. You know, I have to prepare. I have to do. It's a big old responsibility. You know, there are people sitting there waiting for me to make them laugh. So, that is my job.
I know, and you haven't got anyone else, you know, to sort of say, I feel off colour today. You know, you might have to do a bit more.
You might have to do a bit more showing off. There's me, and then there's more me. But that's fine. And I must admit that the second half, which I didn't think would ever come together, I'm really, really delighted with.
Really? Well, so, delight's a strong word for you. So that's exciting. Yeah. I'm really looking forward to seeing it. But I don't think I'm going to get to see you until Milton Keynes. It's quite
That's fine. That's absolutely fine. Okay, emails. Thanks everybody who's written in to say they've been to see the show and have enjoyed themselves. It's so nice to hear. It's terribly reassuring and I really do appreciate it. So thank you for that. We seem to be quite thin on the ground for problems, but I think maybe people are sorting themselves out, Judith. There's just one... I don't think they're sort of not trusting us that much. Got one problem from Natalie, age 52 and a half, and she's asking if it's a good idea to wear denim dungarees. It's always a good idea to wear denim dungarees. Wear your denim dungarees with pride.
Send us a photo.
Yes.
Natalie. Send us a photo, Natalie, age 52 and a half, please, in your denim dungarees. Well, listen, and we want some more emails from you, lovely gang. Now, olderwiderpod@gmail.com. Yeah, okay, well, that's that. So, listen, good luck with the... Oh, now we're not on next week.
We're going to take a week off.
I'm up Croatia.
And how long are you going for?
10 days, but I think... Yeah. So not around next week, sorry.
Okay, Well, I'm sort of all over the place. So, yes, I'm going to tell you my gigs this weekend. I have got, well, Thursday night, which last night I was in Bristol. Tonight I shall be, Friday night, I'm the 10th. I'm in Leamington Royal Spa, Oxford on the 11th, the North Wall, and Northampton Durngate on the 12th, and then I'm up to Scotland next week. Okay.
Oh, bloody hell, Jenny. Well, bon voyage.
And have a great time in Croatia. Thank you. Very, very jealous indeed, apart from the cycling bit and the sailing bit. but all the other bits, no, I think you will have an absolutely splendid time. I'm glad you got the PCR done and you are safe to fly.
Okay. And, well, look after yourself, Jenny. Don't overdo it. Pace yourself.
Oh, I will. Yeah. You won't see me standing up anywhere. I'm mostly lying down in between shows, okay? Take care, everybody.
All right. Toodle-pip. Bye, Jenny.
Bye, all. Bye-bye.
Bye, Daisy.